Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
610. Hi, Steve Cochran Show.
Yes, I'm going.
1,338.
Yes, I'm going.
At Cochran Show, Steve Cochran Show, and Steve Cochran Show on your social media. Have fun. Figure those out. And hi to everybody. This weekend, Ro Khan and Kevin Powell will join Dave Ennett and I in Arizona for the final weekend of spring training. It occurred to me on the way in this morning, Dave, that you and I haven't flown together in a long time.
I think the last time was going to Arizona for Big O's 80th birthday.
So it's been years.
Yeah.
So have you changed at all? Because you used to be a cuddler.
Yeah, a little bit, especially...
I mean, should we sit together or should we sit on separate parts of the plane and act like we don't know each other?
Well, I've already heard that that's happened.
That we're sitting together?
No, that we're not sitting together. I've already heard, I heard our afternoon host saying that you had upgraded.
No, that's not true.
That's what he said.
Because yesterday I said he upgraded Kevin because I wanted it out there publicly, which would force Ro Khan to actually do it.
Well, he said he did. He said on his show that he did upgrade Kevin. He told Kevin that.
And you didn't upgrade Dave?
No.
Right. That's what's happened.
He said he used Anna's credit card to do it.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, that seems right. We had access to that. We could all use it.
My favorite thing is all week you've been checking in with Dave on what he's doing flying-wise. Like yesterday, mm-hmm. you asked if he's bringing his own clubs. And if he was shipping or going to...
Well, you know, it's weird when you travel with people, right?
Yeah.
And Dave's a friend forever. And I don't want to blow the friendship in one weekend. So, Dave, will we talk on the plane or will we go, pods and ignore each other?
I usually... Well, let's see. I don't have a game to do, so I'm not necessarily working. But I'm going to bring my Kindle and read and my iPad and probably binge watch, maybe catch up on Billions.
I'm
not saying I won't talk to
Dave
you.
Dave will have his earbuds in like he did on the stair climb and he won't talk. Dave walks around after we leave the show. He walks around with the earbuds in his ears all the time. So you don't know if he's listening to you
someone
that's else.
That's to avoid talking to
people. I'm guessing.
That's the old version of I've got a phone up to my ear. Oh, I'm on the phone.
That's just so I don't leave him in the studio, Mary.
Sure. No, that makes sense. So we will talk. When you're watching Billions, since I'm completely caught up, would it be helpful if I just filled in the blanks on all the characters?
Probably not.
Wait, you see what happens to Axe?
We're actually across the aisle from each other.
Right.
So I'm
guessing. If I get nervous with turbulence, I can reach out and hold your hand?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to be in Phoenix hours before Ro and Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
So we have plenty of time to do fun things. What would you like to do?
Well, I hear the place we're staying has a water park.
Oh, fantastic.
There we go.
Fantastic.
That would be perfect for social media.
And Pat Brady gave me what did he give me? A Speedo. Give me a Speedo.
There you go.
Well, you have your new slim figure now, Steve. Uh-huh. So you can
show it
you
off.
Can do the Speedo.
They have a lazy river.
And I'm lazy. Perfect.
Getting the inner tube.
Great combination.
Drink holders.
Top of the water slide, just yell wee.
Mm-hmm. I'm there.
Excited. Let's do the top 6 and 6.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Your kicks.
Get your kicks. With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Illinois popularity ratings are out for politicians. J.B. Pritzker mixed reviews early, but Mike Madigan rates lower than Donald Trump statewide. And keep in mind, we're kind of a Democrat state. Paul Simon Public Policy Institute poll at SIU. Disapproval of Madigan's job fell across all geographical lines, from Chicago, where 66% disapproved, the suburbs, where 72% disapproved, and downstate, where 71% disapproved. Madigan is also the state Democratic chairman, but even amongst Democrats, 34% approved of his job performance. 34%, while 55% disapproved. And yet, he's still the most powerful man in Illinois.
All it takes is winning that district.
Yeah, one district and a lot of blackmail. Oh, did I say blackmail? I meant you're always invited here, Mr. Madigan, to explain yourself. Next.
Billy the Chill Owens, Slim Jim Bammer.
Todd Stroger lost a bitter, 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 bitter race with Tony Preckwinkle not so many years ago. Has endorsed her for mayor. Interesting move. Meanwhile, last night they had another one of them, their mayoral forums. And there was a lot of Lightfoot saying, hey, it's time for a new day, time for new leadership. And a lot of Preckwinkle saying she doesn't have the experience to do the job.
She's not qualified. That's what she's claiming.
Next. I will take this up with Chuck Todd in a few minutes, but Donald Trump attacked John McCain again. The dead former POW war hero and legendary senator. In part saying he didn't get a thank you for approving the senator's funeral.
What, from the family? Where was that supposed to come from?
There's never in my lifetime of remembering politics any time where a family said, and I really, really, really want to thank, in my time of grief and mourning, I really want to thank the president for letting me fly in the plane and bring the body home. It's not okay. I know, you know, nobody's surprised about Trump's behavior anymore. It's not okay.
Did you happen to see Cindy McCain's Twitter account over the last 24 hours?
What did she respond to this?
She has been posting the hateful, vitriolic email that she's been getting from people.
Yeah, from Trump fans.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's horrific. Yeah, cowards. Just online cowards. Next. A new report reveals a horrific scale of child sex abuse amongst 400 accused Catholic clergy in Illinois. And the Catholic Church in this city and state has an opportunity to explain themselves and clean this up again. Don't wait. Today. Explain what you're doing today. Explain what happened today. Do it today. Next. Levi's, the maker of denim and Dockers, is expected to start trading in the public markets today for the second time in its 165-year history. Levi's invented the blue jean in 1873, and early reports are that they are going to be coming out rocking.
Well, but I wonder if they know that Justin Kaufman, his Levi's ripped the other day.
It could hurt the stock price.
Don't you think?
It could hurt the stock price. I'm not going to lie to you. Yeah. So if you own it, just be advised, there may be a dip.
I thought if they're ripped, Mary, don't they cost more?
Well, they do, but his ripped along the pocket and exposed the behind.
Plus, honestly, ripped on a hot girl is one thing. Ripped jeans on a guy, you go, get new jeans. Next.
Get a TO, baby! Get a timeout, Mr. Nice!
Little Dickie's all excited. New concession items at Guaranteed Rate Field. Joe, I'm going to need your reviews on these, Super Joe, Super White Sox fan. Five of the new concession items are different versions of dusted or smothered fries. Have you had the smothered fries?
I have not.
One item wasn't featured yesterday during the preview, but it's not a done deal yet. Chicken and waffle taco.
They said that they've been working on it, and it wasn't quite up to snuff, but they're thinking at All-Star break it'll debut.
So you'd put chicken and waffles inside a taco shell?
Yeah, or maybe the waffle cone and the chicken is piled inside of it.
Oh.
May I ask?
By the way, Steve, why were you not at the preview?
I don't know. See, again, this year, I begged last year to be at this thing this year. And I never can win anything.
We had a large contingent there.
I do have a follow-up question.
We could have gotten you in.
Yes, Lauren Lapka, our new traffic reporter, was there.
Lauren Lapka weighs 8 pounds. I'm looking for a real man to get over there and try the food.
What are the fries smothered in, by the way?
Well, anything you want, basically. Oh. How about bacon popcorn nuggets?
Oh, my gosh.
The stadium's Diamond Suites will offer grilled plant-based Impossible Burgers and Impossible Asian Appetizers, pan-fried pot stickers, based on feedback from the vendors.
Millennials told the vendors they want more plant-based food.
It's not just millennials.
It's you. It's millennials and you. That's the total.
So, hey, Steve Grzanich, there will be buffalo chicken fries topped with shredded chicken and hot buffalo sauce, chili and cheese fries dusted with Caribbean Jack, Parmesan fries, Greek, Irish, and even dessert fries, sweet potato drizzled with chocolate Nutella and topped with nuts and whipped cream.
Oh, my God.
And by the way, and this is a nice commitment by the White Sox, cardiac surgeons in every section.
Yeah.
36 of the 90 craft beers will be sold at the Goose Island Craft Cave during the season. 75 on opening day. 17 brewers making their guaranteed rate debut. More than half of those come from the Chicago area. And finally, antique tacos. Not old tacos they were going to throw away. These are antique tacos offering chicken al pastor and brisket. So Steve is very happy to hear this morning and has never been a bigger White Sox fan. That is your top six at six.
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
That's what they want, little Dipsy Doo, Jamaroo.
He is Nick at Night, DiGiulio. He knows what shows are good, what's stinking. He's the only one who's in the know. I need to know what Nick is thinking.
Nick DiGiulio joins us now. Nick, I've gone old school on the wardrobe today. I'm wearing a jacket, which I believe you own as well. It's the circa 2000, maybe 2001 WGN old school logo baseball jacket. Do you remember one with the... these suede sleeves?
It's like velour, kind of. Yeah, I guess it's kind of suede.
It looks like suede.
Yeah, suede sleeves, the baseball jacket.
Yeah, and but probably back then they actually sprung for real suede sleeves, right?
Yeah. Yeah, these were very expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you know what? I never got one of those. No, I didn't get one of those. Thanks. Appreciate it. I did get a pullover sweater with that logo on it.
Yeah,
and that was our Christmas bonus one year.
Yeah, nobody's wearing that anymore.
yeah, like I'm up on fashions anyway, Steve.
Only one big movie this weekend. It's the latest from Jordan Peele. Is Us good?
I don't know, but
well,
I'll tell
what
you
are
what.
Hearing?
I hear nothing but great things about it. Jordan Peele, who first of all one of the funniest men that's ever lived. Key and Peele, one of the greatest sketch comedy shows of all time. Brilliant, hilarious. And he goes on to, you know, become a horror film director. It was his favorite genre growing up, and of course, it's my favorite genre too. And he had a breakout smash with Get Out, made a ton of money, became a social, a social masterpiece, and he won an Oscar for it. So that was pretty good right out of the gate. And his latest is Us. It's about a family, a wife, husband, two kids, who are confronted by evil, insane, murderous doppelgangers.
They just want to go on vacation. They just want to go to the place they always go. They want to go to the Dells. They want to go to the Dells, and there's the duplicate family in the Dells.
The evil duplicate family that terrorizes them. Now, the people that I know who have seen this movie, somebody saw it. They premiered it at South by Southwest a couple of weeks ago. And the people that I know have seen it say it's absolutely terrifying. And as good as Get Out was, this is about 10 times scarier. It's more visceral. It's not as funny. It's a hardcore badass horror movie. It's the movie that Jordan Peele wanted to make, because when he was making Get Out, you know, he wasn't established. You know, he was like, oh, he's a sketch comedy guy. Now he wants to write and direct a movie. And so the suits were looking at him going, we could shut this production down anytime. He was nervous the whole time he was making Get Out. And then when Get Out made all the money it made, became the sensation it was, he got an Oscar. On this movie, they were like, do whatever you want.
Right.
And so he's making a hardcore horror movie this time. And I can't wait to see it.
You taking your parents?
Yes, I am. And you know what? Oh, wait, by the way, today's my mom's birthday.
Hey, happy birthday, Nick's mom.
Yes, yes. And,
does your mom
and
have
as a
name,
treat.
Nick?
My mom's name is Pam.
Pam. Happy birthday, Pam.
Yeah. Pam, how you doing? Happy birthday.
Yes, she is. I won't say how old she is. She's 75.
Oh, it's a big birthday.
It is a big birthday.
It is a big birthday. Yeah, it is. And
what
so
are you doing,
as a result,
what are you doing
I'm taking,
tonight?
No, nothing tonight. We're going to celebrate on Saturday. I sleep during the evening, Steve.
Nick, does she love the part of Step Brothers when they say Pam? Pan? Pam? Pam?
I don't think she's ever seen, I got to tell you, I don't think she's ever seen Step Brothers.
Oh, what a shame.
To be honest with you.
It's a classic.
But I'll tell you this, my mom is easily terrified, and as a birthday gift, I'm taking her to see Us.
Oh, that's sweet. You know, you're a good son. You're really a good son.
I am. I've often been told that I'm a good son. I remember when we saw when we went to go see A Quiet Place last year.
Oh, God.
My mom was completely freaking out, like covering her eyes and doing all that stuff. Yeah. But when it was over, I was like, are you okay? And she's like, yeah, that was great.
Wow. So, okay. Well, she's coming around to your twisted way of thinking.
But she freaked. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, I've got both my parents are nuts. My dad took me to see The Exorcist when I was 8. So that should tell you something right there.
Yeah, I wonder where all this came from. on Tuesday, April 9th, Nick's Film Club will show The Man Who Knew Too Much, the great Jimmy Stewart classic at the AMC Rosemont 18. How would I get tickets?
You would go to amctheaters.com, $10 to get in. Parking is free. A classic Alfred Hitchcock, one of Alfred Hitchcock's most quintessential thrillers with a great performance by Jimmy Stewart. And if you go to the Murray Brothers Caddyshack restaurant right down the street before they have some dinner, they let the film clubbers get 15% off on all their food. So have some cheap food, which is great food, at the Caddyshack restaurant, and then head over and see the Alfred Hitchcock movie. And it's amctheaters.com.
All right, well, you have my number. I'm going to be in Arizona this weekend, but Saturday, you know, just text me and go, good, great, fantastic. Just give me a one word on us.
No, I absolutely will. I thought you were going to say about the Hawks game.
No. Somehow I'll manage to catch that. All right, man, have a great weekend.
I gave him the kind of funeral that he wanted, which as president, I had to approve. I don't care about this. I didn't get thank you. That's okay. We sent him on the way, but I wasn't a fan of John McCain. So now what we could say is, now we're all set. I don't think I have to answer that question, but the press keeps, what do you think of McCain? What do you think? Not my kind of guy, but some people like him, and I think that's great.
I don't like those war heroes, those people that are 5.5-year POWs. They're not my kind of guy. Longest running show on television, Meet the Press, and Chuck Todd, the host, joins me, hardest working man in the politics business. You know, Chuck, it's not okay. You talked about this yesterday on MTP Daily, and it's not okay. You know, we get tired of talking about the bad behavior of this president, but it's just not okay. You have to highlight it because it's not okay.
Right. We're sitting here, and I know the feeling, because we have it in our own news meeting. My God, he's doing the same thing. We become numb to it. The Republicans are so numb to it, they ignore it now. I mean, we're down to Johnny Isaacson, right? The last guy in the Senate that has any guts to take the president on McCain. I mean, that is it. When you really think about that, that is amazing. I mean, it is just something else that we've gotten to this point. And, you know, look, I get that the press, you know, that some of the Trump's base just thinks irritating the press is fun, that what the president is doing is, oh, you're owning the libs, right, or whatever this is. This is sick, the fact that there is this following that relishes demeaning a dead person like this.
Yeah, it's
just sick. It's just sick. I don't know what else to call it anymore.
No, it's absolutely outrageous and unnecessary and damages the country and takes the office of the president down another notch, and defending it is outrageous. And by not saying anything, that's a defense of it. And by the way, Mitch McConnell's statement was not a rebuke of Trump. It was cowardly.
He's not going to get the Profile and Courage Award this year?
No, I don't see it.
I can't be nominated for that one.
So what is in D.C., what is the topic about his wheels coming off as hard as they have since Sunday? Is this all related to the Mueller report's coming out any minute now, and he knows what's in it to some degree?
Always related to the Mueller report.
Seems
it's
worse, though.
It's always related to Mueller. It's always related to this. If you look, I actually think, you know, the conversation that, and I know that way too many people on cable news try to speculate on his mental state. And I'm sitting here going, do you guys pay attention? I've known Donald Trump a long time. Nothing's changed.
Yeah.
Nothing has changed. There is a root cause for everything. He gets triggered. Anyway, the Mueller report, he's obsessed with it. Then there's the dossier. And then why is the dossier, in his mind, why did the dossier end up at the FBI? John McCain. So that's where this all comes from. It is his both paranoia on the Mueller report and I think his attempt to try to sort of create so much think of it as fog or sand in the air or whatever you want to call, that when the Mueller report hits, we're all just disoriented, especially his people, are just completely disoriented, you know, more than anything else, and it's not going to land with the same impact.
Well, and by the way, Bob Mueller is an American hero as well. He happens to be alive. And the idea that the commander-in-chief would be trashing Bob Mueller is outrageous, too. So I get it. It's his bad behavior. He's going to keep doing it. But, again, it's not okay.
Well, no, and the problem is if he gets, particularly if he gets a second term, but, frankly, it's being normalized. This is, we have creating an incentive structure that says, you know the fastest way to become politically relevant in Trump's Republican Party? Be a jerk and stir the pot on politically incorrect, if you want to call it that, but really shameless crap.
Right.
You know, you stir the pot like that, and you become a front runner to win the nomination in Trump's party, Trump's cult, whatever you want to call this. These are sick. It is a sick motivation, and that's what's so frustrating here, is that the incentive, he is incentivized to behave badly. The worse he behaves, the more excited this group of people get.
And it's ground.
That's what I think is so right. This is what makes it so impossible to deal with, I think, for us in normal America.
And when it comes to governing, in the same way that Mike Madigan and the Democrats that are afraid of him in Springfield have ground Illinois to a halt, unless J.B. Pritzker can change that, that's what Donald Trump and the Republicans have done in Washington.
Well, they have. I mean, nothing is getting done. Nothing's going to get passed. You know, I mean, the irony is if the guy actually gave a darn about his agenda, he could get a major infrastructure bill. Could have that done 2 years ago. Could have done last year. Could probably still do it today. He could lower prescription drug prices. There's a bunch of stuff that he claims he wants to do. He does nothing. Nothing. And his base loves it because he's putting on the worst reality soap opera that this country's ever seen, and they seem to love it.
Well, if we accept the fact that his base loves it, it comes down to turnout, as all elections do, but a bigger turnout than ever before by the people that maybe normally don't turn out. So that's on the rest of us. But I think you have done a nice job of focusing on what matters here, and that's the fact that we still need to examine whether or not we have a criminal in the office of the presidency of the United States, because, frankly, that's way more important than what's happening in the 2020 election.
Well, and not only that, I am curious about, we've decided apparently run-of-the-mill crimes we're going to accept. The only crime we're not going to accept is if there's a proof he worked with the Russians. But if he obstructed Mueller's probe, you think Republicans are going to want to investigate him?
No, I mean, it's outrageous. It's outrageous.
I don't either.
No, absolutely.
It is just looking the other way. And, we'll see if there is a breaking point for some people. I've always said there's a breaking point for a lot of voters. There's a breaking point. What's been amazing is the lack of breaking point among elected officials, among elected Republicans. They know, and what's really amazing is when you talk to them individually, they know this is nuts. They're, but their rationale is, well, if I say something, I'll lose, and somebody crazier will replace me. And that's how they comfort themselves in not speaking out against the president. And in some cases, they're not wrong.
I just don't know how they look in the mirror in the morning and feel good about themselves by not even standing
up. I hope they don't. I'll be honest with you. I hope they don't sleep well.
Right.
And I hope they've gotten ulcers. Because you know what? I don't sleep well, and I've acquired ulcers. So you know what? I hope they have.
It's just, I don't know how you could have children and grandchildren and a constituency and know who John McCain was in this country, whether you agreed or disagreed with him politically, and not have the guts to stand up and defend him after he dies. It's just outrageous.
Yeah. You know what some of his supporters will say? I'll get emails. We say, yeah, but all you people that say nice things now about McCain wouldn't have said it when he was alive.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And by the way, as this rolls on, meanwhile, in New Zealand, the prime minister there has taken actual leadership on and banning all semi-automatic weapons in, 10 days, 7 days, whatever it's been?
It's in fairness, governing an island's a little bit easier and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. We took a year to even talk about, after Las Vegas, to even talk about killing bump stocks.
Yeah, well, remember, we are the outlier of the world when it comes to firearms. It is amazing where we are and where literally the rest of the world is.
Now, for those of you who follow the media and the media's coverage of this and are fascinated by it, and that's a good portion of the audience, what do you do with this story on Sunday? Do you have any idea which way Meet the Press goes now?
Well, we're all on pins and needles that the Mueller report's going to get filed today. I mean, we're all on this, like, watch, you know, literally staking up the Justice Department, all of that. So this may be Mueller report weekend, but, you know, I caution folks that if Mueller may turn his report in, and all the Justice Department tells us is they're reviewing it, and then, you know, and they'll get back, you know, they'll report to Congress within 7 days or 5 days or whatever it is, and then it's just more speculation. So, but that is, Mueller is the holding pattern of the weekend right now, that's for sure.
And I would tell people to not assume that the Attorney General, Mr. Barr, is going to do something sinister here. Assume that he'll do the right thing and that the report will be seen under the legal guidelines that it should be seen.
Here's the best way I would describe it. I think he's going to try to do as much as he can without raising Trump's ire. But I'm concerned that that will be too minimal. And my guess is he is going to be very minimal at first and make Congress drag it out of him a bit as a way of staying loyal to Trump. But he will eventually do the right thing, but I have a feeling he's going to make Congress work for it.
Well,
that's just my sense, because that is a way to manage Trump and manage his ire.
Well, we're all looking for a hero, and in my idealistic Hallmark card world.
Brief. I don't know if there's any exist. There's certainly not any in Washington right now, or at least on the Republican side of the aisle.
Good news. I didn't have time to talk to you about Bob Kraft and his videos, because none of us really need to see that.
But he's coming to the White House. Trump wants him there. That's a good idea.
That seems like a good photo op.
That's a good one. Look, we in the reality show Press Corps, apparently, TMZ is excited about this.
Oh, my. Maybe you can get the former Asian Orchid owner in for the photo op.
By the way, not a single, am I correct? Is Bradley Illinois' only representative?
Oh, yes, that is correct. I'm sorry, is Chuck's phone dying? I heard a crackle.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right.
Bradley, the home of the great Charlie Steiner.
That's true. That's exactly right. Wow, good poll.
I had a little help on that.
Impressive.
I happen to know Charlie.
Pretty impressive. Have a great weekend.
That's a bummer. Well, hey, look, you stole a Final Four spot last year.
So. Oh!
Not too bad.
Sister Jean's on the phone for you.
I hear you. They've been eliminated for the NIT, right? It's over.
Yeah. Well, you know,
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Well, they were a senior laden team, and last time I checked, seniors can't play a fifth year in most places.
Hey, who's your Final Four?
I'm going with an all ACC Final Four.
Of course, Duke, you North are.
Carolina, Virginia, and Florida State. I'm most concerned about Carolina over Kentucky and Florida State over Michigan. I'll admit that. Duke and UVA, I feel pretty good about, but that's you know, I'm leaning with the storyline of the ACC, but I'll admit Michigan and Kentucky probably will blow up my Final Four.
I got a chance to get through at least tonight, maybe tomorrow morning before it's over.
Are you
for me.
Sure?
Yeah, I just looked at mine. Chuck, have a great weekend.
When Gardner Webb pulls off the UVA upset, then we'll know.
Yeah, and Wofford, and that's a good team.
Hey, don't sleep on Wofford, man.
That's right.
Don't sleep on them. Yeah, they're serious.
They're the toughest,
they're pretty good team.
Toughest team ever to be called the Terriers. all right, man, thanks for the time, as always.
You got it, brother.
See you.
Enjoy the game.
That's Chuck Todd. Chuck Todd can't even take these 2 days off like everybody else in America does. You know, you show up for work and you pay attention to the games. He's still got to go wait for the president to do something else crazy.
No. I'm completely checked out and the games haven't even started yet.
Right. Yeah, and you're mad enough to admit it.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Steve, by the way, be coming back in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. World's 10 most expensive cities has been released. Chicago's not on it. New York and L.A. made the top 10 this year. Stronger U.S. dollars meant cities in the U.S. generally became more expensive globally. but the most expensive city in the world. Anybody? Anybody? It's a tie. You have two chances to win here. Most expensive city to visit or live in the world.
Hong Kong.
New York City.
San Francisco.
Hong Kong
Paris.
Is it? Hong Kong and Paris are both tied.
Wow. Dave and I, winners.
There's one more
the world
here.
Travelers.
One more. It's a three-way tie for first place. Hong Kong, Paris, and?
Is it on this continent?
It is not. Hong Kong, Paris, and?
London.
Fiji.
Oh, you would think London, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
How about?
Shanghai.
Singapore.
Oh, see, I was going to say Singapore.
Singapore. Here's a couple others. Zurich, Switzerland at 4. Geneva, Switzerland, and Osaka, Japan at 5. Seoul, South Korea, Copenhagen, Denmark, and New York City all tied for 7th. Tel Aviv and L.A. tied for 10th.
Dave, weren't you in Denmark last year?
I was in Copenhagen last year.
Dave is wealthy.
No, I didn't think it was that expensive.
Were you in Copenhagen or Copenhagen?
I was in Copenhagen.
Oh, that's the
southern part.
He stayed in a hotel, though, that didn't have air conditioning and the windows opened.
Right. Well, because they don't have air conditioning.
Oh.
But it was unseasonably hot.
Can you imagine being hot in a foreign country?
And it was during the World Cup, so the soccer fans were milling around the streets all night.
Loud, noisy.
Loud.
Sounds like you had a great trip.
It was. It was a wonderful trip. I loved it.
Feel like it. Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Steve's there in a moment on 720 WGN.
I brought this out for you because this is a map of everything in the red. This was on election night in 2016. Everything red is ISIS. When I took it over, it was a mess. Now, on the bottom, that's the exact same. There is no red. In fact, there's actually a tiny spot which will be gone by tonight. So that's ISIS, red right there. And the bottom one is how it is today. This just came out 20 minutes ago. So this is ISIS on election day, my election day. And this is ISIS now. So that's the way it goes.
Pat Brady joins us from the desert himself. Morning, Pat.
Morning, guys. How's it going?
You can't make it up. Again, we get tired of talking about this guy being the president of the United States. But not only is it not okay to just degrade and rip a dead war hero in a war that you lied your way to get out of. Now he's making up stuff left and right, and he's claiming that Bob Mueller is just a guy making up a report. Did you see that little bit of genius yesterday? And some guy's writing a report like it just happened.
Yeah, it is amazing the way that he just has no problem lying about everything. And his attacks on McCain, I've never seen a bigger coward move. I mean, John McCain's been dead for 7 months.
Right.
And he still continues to attack him. It's just beyond me.
I don't know what we do with this other than continue to bring it up because people need to know. You know, if you think this is okay, there's nothing I could say or nothing anybody could do that's going to change your mind. If you think it's okay for Trump to behave this way, for the president of the United States to behave this way, and there's nobody that can talk you out of that. But it's not okay.
I mean, it's not okay. For some, I've been voted and worked for Republicans my entire life, and there's no way I will ever vote for Donald Trump. And we've got to find an alternative, and I think some people need to stand up now that are elected officials and really point out what's going on. I mean, that's their job as elected officials and leaders to do this, and right now they're just not doing it.
Chuck Todd brought up something interesting a few minutes ago that said many of the Republican cowards who aren't willing to stand up, particularly in the Senate, and say anything, somehow make it okay in their heads because if they do and they lose because Trump goes off on them, somebody crazier might come in. How is that okay? That kind of rationale. And by the way, I'm not mocking Chuck here. I think that's entirely possible. But to say if Mitch McConnell goes to bed at night and that's what makes him feel good, are you kidding me?
Yeah, and it is cowardice that they are more concerned about their office than they are doing what's right for the country. And that's why these people, because he does, he's very popular in the Republican Republican world. So they think they're afraid if they go against him, they're going to lose their primary. But I don't know how you go to bed tonight or any night after what he said about McCain, thinking that I didn't say something about it as an elected official. But it's not been great. This week has really been disgusting insofar as his conduct and people not standing up.
Yeah, Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham, his alleged best friend, who came out so strong yesterday and said, I think the president is hurting himself more than he hurts John McCain. Ooh, good one.
Yeah, John McCain made Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham was a backbench senator until he started hanging around with McCain, traveling around the world, talking foreign policy. He was nobody until McCain took him under his wing and he made him. And now when he's gone, Graham doesn't have the guts to stand up to Trump because he's worried about his election, which he kicked off last week.
Yeah, the Republican Party's unrecognizable. And this is the other thing Chuck Todd and I spoke about. You know, the same way that, Mike Madigan has ground the Democrats in this state to a halt, well, he's been the most powerful man in the state, and J.B. Pritzker has an opportunity to change that. We'll see if it happens. That's what's going on in Washington. Nothing's getting done.
Against the party, though, he really has. This is not the party that a lot of us signed up for. He's not a conservative. He's not a man of character. He doesn't put the country first. It's about him first. And this is not what the Republican Party is all about. Anybody that calls himself a Republican or a lifelong Republican, like me or a lot of people, you really got to look at this guy and say, you know what, there's no way you can or should support him. But that message doesn't seem to sink in. There's only 16 or 17% of people that feel that way in the Republican side.
Well, that's why you got to keep coming back to the same thing. If you're willing to vote for any Republican, even this one, a guy that claims he's a Republican, regardless of what he says or does, then fine, do it. But you can't sit on the bench. You can't sit on the bench. You can't be on the sidelines. You got to show up, and you got to show up more than the 50% that showed up for the midterms. You got to show up, and you have to vote him out of office. And by the way, I don't particularly care what the 2020 election looks like right now. I'm more worried about this country on a day-to-day basis.
The leadership, just the lack of any character from him. Honesty, things that are, that office is all about. He just doesn't show, and he doesn't understand the significance of the office. We've been saying this for 3 years. He is commander in chief, and to criticize a dead war hero, he's not going to fight back. I can't imagine anything that's more cowardly than what he's been telling us last week.
Man, he wouldn't have the guts to say it to McCain. He wouldn't.
Well, it's the same thing he did. If you really read it, how he got out of the Vietnam War, the four deferments and then the fake foot injury. You know, and some poor kid probably went in his spot. But that doesn't faze him. He continues to tell the story and then goes after McCain.
Terrible person.
Did you guys see Cory Booker on the Ellen show?
Mm-mm.
He was on with Ellen DeGeneres.
Mm-hmm.
And he's dating Rosario Dawson. And he was previewing if he's elected to president and then he got married in the White House. That would be like our royal wedding.
You know what? We could do worse than Rosario Dawson as first lady.
Yeah, so wouldn't that be fun to have a president? And
he also dated Katie Couric once. Did he talk about that?
That did not get mentioned.
Katie Couric, when she was single, went out with Cory Booker once. They went to a football game, and he didn't kiss her, and he didn't hold her hand. You know what I call that? Going to a football game with a girl. That's not a date.
Well, Ellen
sounds
was
like one of my dates.
Yeah, that sounds like a very respectful date, but. Ellen,
you want to play golf? Yeah, the whole royalty, Mary. The whole royalty thing, I don't like. I never have the royal anything. You're supposed to be serving the country, and the people are like, oh, we have a royal thing. I don't like royalty. That's what we fought the revolution. So, I mean, I got it, and it's cool, but you know, I'm not into royalty.
Well, you and Ellen can agree to disagree because she was all excited.
She's
about
all about it. By the way, Pat, we had another mayoral forum last night, and the usual arguments fell in place. Tony Preckwinkle said Lori Lightfoot doesn't have enough experience. Lori Lightfoot said it's time for a change in the city. She continues to appear to lead on all levels, but one thing that came up yesterday before the forum was that Tony Preckwinkle dropped all her TV advertising. What do you make of that?
Campaign's over, and this is the one thing of all the arguing that Eric and I have done for the last 4 years on your show. Eric and I completely agree and support Lori Lightfoot. She's going to be the next mayor. It's going to be an historic night. I mean, think about it. African-American woman, openly gay, former federal prosecutor is going to be the next mayor of Chicago. Think about 30 years ago. You think that would ever happen? It's going to be a big, big night. She's got a huge lead. Tony Preckwinkle's run a terrible campaign. She pulled all her ads because she's not raising any money. And I think it's going to be a big win for Lori on election night.
You don't think she'll just throw it all against the wall next week and the last week? Whatever she has left.
Yeah, but she's already pulled the low belt cards from the bottom of the deck on really negative and some of the things she's done. None of her ads have worked. People want something different. Tony Preckwinkle represents more of the same. She's an insider. She's chairman of the Cook County Democratic Party. Everybody knows who she is, and people just don't like her. And she's going to get beaten badly election night. And we're going to have, it's really going to be a big change at City Hall, a welcome change, and it's a change people want.
It's a pretty amazing story when you think about it, because prior to the election a month ago, nobody thought Lori Lightfoot would make the runoff. And now here she is on the verge of getting the gig.
I certainly did, and the poll we did a month ago would have shown that. But you give the people of the city a lot of credit. All the things that typically would have been barriers to enter to be mayor, the things I just mentioned, they don't care. They just want somebody in there that can do the job and level the playing field and take the city in the right direction. So, you know, give the voters a lot of credit for recognizing that. And Toni Perkins is more the same, more the corruption. Remember, she's the one that supported Joe Berrios recently in the last election. I mean, how anybody could support Joe Berrios, the former county assessor, but I'm really excited for this election. It's going to be national news when Lori gets elected in a couple weeks.
Last thing, I'll give you a chance to say whatever you want to say about this. Our friend Bridget Gaynor, who hangs out with us on Fridays and is often a Thursday guest as well, won't be in this week because she lost her dad. Bill Gaynor passed away last weekend. You knew him. He was a very big deal in his relations with the Irish community in this city, obviously. But what do you want to say about him?
He's a legend. Everybody that met him liked him, contributed to community every day, great guy, and that's what everybody would say about him. And I know Bridget talked about the fact he was sick over the last couple months. It's a huge loss for her, a huge loss for the community, and he was one of a kind, but he's truly a legend, not just in the Irish community, but the Chicago community.
Did you play any good yesterday?
No. I'm not very good. I'm going to start playing something else.
Okay. All right, well, that's good.
There you go. And they tell me I should spend less time with you, so it's probably good.
So should Dave Ennett and I call you when we get into Phoenix tomorrow night? Pat's in Phoenix as well. Should we call you when we get into Phoenix tomorrow night, or should we lose the number?
I'm going to hit some balls this morning. We'll see how it goes.
Okay. Talk to you later. Thank you.
It's good, though. It was 80 and sunny yesterday. So.
Yeah, it was that here, too, as far as you know.
When are you coming out?
We'll be out there. I don't know. What time do we get there today? 5 o'clock or something?
Yeah, I think 5-ish.
Yeah, something like that.
All right, well. I'll show you the sights.
Okay, that'll be fun. That's Pat Brady. Pat, what's your company?
Next Generation Strategies. Thank you.
Thank you.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Dave was already making a reservation for our romantic dinner tomorrow night in Phoenix. Just got a little distracted. It's understandable. NBC Sports Chicago has added Ozzie Guillen as an analyst for White Sox pre and post. What do you think of that?
I think it's good.
So do I.
I think it's good. I'm waiting to hear the Ozzie Pat Boyle show.
Yeah, will Pat Boyle be on with Ozzie? Your husband, Pat Boyle?
You know, if Pat goes and stands behind their broadcast, they might with, you know, it's usually Chuck Garfine, Belton, Bill Melton, and Ozzie. I don't know who else is a part of that group.
Pat never fills in?
He doesn't. But maybe he will. He likes Ozzy. He's a big fan. So I think Ozzy's always fun.
He's always entertaining.
Yeah, yeah. He's...
What's the over-under on how many games in before he says something that's controversial?
Two.
Yeah.
I think
and
two.
My favorite of all time is he and Lou Piniella riding their bikes to the Crosstown Classic. The footage of that is the greatest.
I remember like it was yesterday, Lou going, I like Ozzy. I don't know why people think I don't like Ozzy. I like Ozzy.
And then Ozzy talking about the rats and Wrigley.
So good.
Susan joins us. Susan Taney, is that right, Susan?
Yes, Taney.
Taney, I'm sorry. You are the most valuable person on the planet and the founder director of Lost Dogs Illinois. Thank you for that work.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You educate and empower owners with resources and tools to assist them in finding their lost dogs. So this isn't just put up a flyer on a telephone pole.
That's correct. It's not.
So what we
are, there are humans behind the computer screen.
Okay, what do we do?
Well, what we do is what we're doing, we're providing the resources to help them find their lost dogs. We post them on our Facebook page. We also have a partner called Helping Lost Pets that has a centralized database. The dogs, either lost or found, are posted on our Facebook page and also the corresponding website. We text them and we email them tips and resources on what they're to do. What they should do when they find a dog or they lose a dog.
What success rate do you guys have?
Well, that's kind of hard to say because we're not actually a brick-and-mortar building.
Okay.
A
lot? Would it be fair to say a lot?
Yes, I would say. I would say over 60%.
Wow, that's great. It's tremendous.
Yeah, we're pretty proud of it.
You should be.
So, Susan, I know that you guys support a no-kill type messaging, and part of that, which gets overlooked and I didn't realize, is making sure that people reclaim their lost pets, because that's I didn't know that that's where a lot of pets came, you know, where that's where the shelters get pets is because they're just lost. They aren't actually...
I didn't know that either.
Yes. The ASPCA says probably 60% of shelter population or the intake is are strays. And the return to owner rate is pretty low. It's probably about national, it's probably about 15 to 20%. CACC has about a 29% return to owner rate.
Is it because people don't know to look at the shelters?
That's correct. You know, a lot of people don't know what to do. They really don't know what to do. Us in the animal welfare field or, you know, our friends know what to do, but they don't know where their animal control facility is. It could be a vet clinic holding that dog. It could be a Good Samaritan. It could be the police department. And you think about, I'll just take Chicago, you know, for itself. That's a pretty big town. And you've got Animal Care League holding animals. You've got South Suburban Humane Society. You have Animal Welfare League. You have a lot of different facilities. And it's only a three-day stray holding period in Chicago. And many of these people don't have transportation. They, you know, their hours that they work are not the same hours that the shelter
can go
open.
Look at the shelter, sure.
Correct. So there's a lot of different reasons why dogs don't get reclaimed. Also, reclaim fees.
Sure.
Some of them can be pretty darn expensive.
You know, Susan, what are a few tips? Because I think, obviously, the way we don't get these strays is preventing people from losing their pet in the first place. And I don't know, when you get a dog, is that the first thing you're thinking is, oh, I hope I never lose this dog, or I hope they never get out? You're not always thinking preventatively. So what's a preventative thing somebody could do?
Well, first of all, what you want to do is make sure you have a collar with an ID tag. And make sure that ID tag is readable and up to date. And you also want to make sure you have a microchip, and make sure that microchip is registered to you, that it has the correct information. There's a lot of different things you can do. You can make sure your gates are closed to your fence. There's a lot of different things you can do. When you open up the door, you know, teach your dog wait. But accidents happen.
Sure.
I had two dogs go missing 2 months apart at two different vet clinics in two different cities. And one was because the vet tech slipped and fell, and my dog took off. And the other one, my dog slipped out of the slip lead. Well, we have car accidents.
It can happen in a lot of ways.
Exactly. And that's why we have a non-judgmental page.
Right.
And I'm really proud of it.
As you should. LostDogsIllinois.org. Don't forget the S on dogs. LostDogsIllinois.org. Facebook is Lost Dogs Illinois. Again, you are the most valuable person. Thank you for doing all you do.
Well, thank you very much for having me on.
I appreciate you being on.
If elected, I will be a tough leader who will take on the Old Boys Club and make Chicago a safe city where all of our students can grow up and fulfill their potential. I ask you to join the movement so we can tackle Chicago's challenges together. Thank you.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Rick Pearson, there's nobody close. Best political writer in America. And, of course, does a great job hosting the Sunday Morning Spin, 7 a.m. every Sunday morning. Read them in the Chicago Tribune. Get the paper. Would it hurt? No, of course not. Get the paper. And read it online at chicagotribune.com. I'm a subscriber. I pay for it, Rick. Why shouldn't everybody else?
Absolutely. Good journalism comes if you got to pay for it, unfortunately. And we've been giving it away too long.
Got to pay the bills. Speaking of paying for it, why has Tony Preckwinkle stopped paying for TV commercials?
Yeah, I don't know a good explanation for that, unless there's some money troubles in the campaign, which the campaign says that's not the case. They call it a strategic decision. I'm not sure exactly what the strategy is. Normally, I mean, you know, let's face it, the initial election was February 26th. You're on the air that entire time until April 2nd, and to pull back on advertising is a very strange move, especially as it comes with Lightfoot seeming to gain some momentum, getting a number of endorsements, getting endorsements that could help her in areas that she hasn't campaigned on before. Plus the fact Lightfoot now, since February 26th, when the runoff was launched, Lightfoot's now spent over $850,000 on TV ads. Preckwinkle, who was the presumed front runner, at least when it came to money, she spent about $500,000. And Lightfoot showing no signs of taking her foot off the pedal when it comes to TV ads.
By the way, off topic here for a second, we are completely socked in by fog in the last 10 minutes. It's bizarre. Fog has rolled into downtown Chicago, and we literally, we can barely see the Sheraton, which is about, what, 200 yards from here, and cannot see the river. So
that defeats the purpose of being on the 18th floor.
That's exactly right. All right, so what are people saying about this election? Are people expecting, because of the uniqueness of the candidates, that this will be a big turnout? Because, you know, it certainly hasn't proven to be the case in the past.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, we saw last time in the runoff with the mayor and Chuy Garcia that voting increased significantly from the initial run to the runoff. And there's every expectation that's going to be the case here, particularly with the fact that you do have two African-American women running for that historic spot. You always get a decent turnout in the African-American community, but that turnout is expected to grow much greater. Tony Preckwinkle obviously trying to focus on South and West Side African-American voters as kind of a base, but still seems to be struggling somewhat. Lightfoot seems to be running kind of a longer campaign, not just isolated to the South and West Sides. She's getting support from what was always known as the Lakefront Liberals, getting endorsements now and from people on the Northwest Side. I think turnout will be stronger, and it is, you know, other than those wards where there are runoff elections for aldermen, it's just an easy vote. It's a quick vote. Easy to cast because you don't have to, you're not going to spend much time in the polling place.
Right.
Difficult vote to figure out who you want to be the next mayor of the city.
So if Tony Preckwinkle has big union support, is that leadership of the unions, meaning the rank and file won't necessarily show up?
Well, there certainly was some question about that, particularly with members of the Chicago Teachers Union, that yes, she had the CTU's endorsement, but did that necessarily translate to the rank and file? And I think, you know, there was evidence that that wasn't always the case. Now, you know, because we don't have a 14 candidates running, now when your choice is much more limited, it'll be curious to see whether that the CTU members kind of coalesce behind Tony Preckwinkle or not. And, you know, to her part, Lightfoot has picked up some private trade union support too on that side. So you've kind of got that contrast with the Service Employees International Union and CTU kind of being the big union drivers behind Tony Preckwinkle. And then you also have some of the trade union support going for Lori Lightfoot.
You know, Tony Preckwinkle's hammer with Lori Lightfoot is no experience, has never run anything. She's not wrong about that in the big picture. And this is a big job where you got to run a big company called the City of Chicago. How big a deal is it not to have that previous experience where you can draw on people to fill key positions?
Well, experience is a two-way street. And, you know, certainly there is the fact that Lightfoot hasn't been elected to anything. She says in her defense that on various agencies and that she served on in the city and procurement issues, that she has the chops to be able to handle the financial morass that exists in the city. And Preckwinkle, to her credit, points out some of the budget cutting that she has done as well as county board president. But with experience, there also comes the baggage. And so things like the fact that when she initially ran for county board president. She vowed to repeal the Stroger tax, the increase in the sales tax, which was repealed. But then she said that we have to put it back on. We need the money. And then move, you know, flash forward to the infamous soda pop tax. You know, that's where questions arise among voters about experience being good and bad. Also, throughout this runoff campaign, Preckwinkle has, you know, frequently raised that experience line. Yet some voters in the African-American community say, you know, yeah, she may have done some things to advance the cause of equality, and when it comes to county government, when it comes to city government. But she, even Preckwinkle, acknowledged at one meeting in Operation Push that many of the problems that existed when she was alderman down the 4th Ward, many of those problems for impoverished communities still exist today, and some voters want rapid change. They want to know, well, how come nothing has changed since the time you were an alderman?
So does this sort of momentum for Lori Lightfoot surprise people that it's turned and is going in this direction as hard as it is?
I think it has. And I think also, you know, some people there, you know, there's been various polling out there and of various dubious quality sometimes. But I think people are seeing kind of the issue of a momentum that contrasts itself with a machine. And I think, you know, remember Preckwinkle's, one of her commercials when they were up in the air was, you know, she's a boss. And that attitude of the boss and the machine, the fact that she's Cook County Democratic chairman, that doesn't play very well among, you know, a certain batch of voters that are more progressive, that want to see things move more quickly. And there's also the fact, as being Cook County Democratic chairman, you had the fact that she was supporting Joe Berrios and the property tax system in the city, that property taxes are only getting worse, and the questions of fairness and equity and how the property tax system seemed to fall on those who were least able to pay.
Rick, do you think that after the election, you know, this is a national story because it's historic and that we have the two African-American females that are in this runoff. Will the attention stay after we actually get one mayor? Do you think like the nation's going to watch continually to see how this job goes, or are they going to lose interest once we get it?
I think there'll be continual interest. I mean, you know, Mayor of Chicago is a big deal, and it's a big national story. And the fact Chicago is a global city, and the fact that Chicago has myriad financial problems. And I think, you know, for better or for worse, that's what's going to keep us in the spotlight is, quite frankly, the fate of our finances and how are we able to try to navigate through this. I mean, it's not just big headlines like, you know, expanding O'Hare Airport that everybody around the country knows, those kinds of things. It's really going to be kind of more of the nuts and bolts about, you know, here is this new mayor. How are they able to accomplish what they need to accomplish? Preckwinkle says the fact that, you know, as being a former alderman running the county board, that experience is, you know, hands-on and is day one kind of experience. Lightfoot, you know, she's been in city government. The fact that she's also, you know, a recognized attorney isn't viewed as somebody that's necessarily coming in totally blind to what confronts the city. That's going to be the things to watch for as far as if Preckwinkle wins, you know, how is she able to kind of massage things through the city council that's going to have some upheaval to it after the runoffs versus Lightfoot, who necessarily hasn't really worked the system of working through and with the city council.
Anything new in the aldermanic stuff in regards to, I don't know, someone wearing a wire today or someone else being invited?
No, but I will tell you, you know, when you talk about turnout, certainly one factor is going to be that when you look at these more than a dozen aldermanic runoffs, there's going to be more intensive voting in those wards, too, which is also going to help drive up turnout, drive up the anticipated vote for April 2nd.
It's Rick Pearson. What are you doing Sunday?
Well, I've got Lori Lightfoot scheduled to be on the show on Sunday morning at 7:30 to kick things off. And then for the remainder of the show, we're going to talk to both a Democratic state senator and a Republican state representative to talk about what's going on in Springfield, which, you know, there's things moving down in Springfield that are getting overshadowed by the mayoral contest. And we're going to try to catch up with what's going on in Springfield.
It's my friend Rick Pearson and the Chicago Tribune and ChicagoTribune.com. Thank you, buddy.
Hey, thanks, Steve.
And we'll hear him Sunday morning, 7 a.m. on the Sunday Spin. Follow him on social media at Rap30, his rap name, R-A-P, at Rap30.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Congratulations, Jessica Simpson. She just had her third baby. And she was a former girlfriend of this guy. John Mayer has dated everybody. Crank it up. And Sandberg, I know, and Mary Vanderbilt, your team's easy when it comes to a guy with a guitar. You all fall for musicians. But Mayer has dated everybody. Everybody.
He has, but he hasn't.
He has dated a lot.
He hasn't gotten anyone pregnant, so.
Here's the list. And this is the only ones we know of. Halsey. Actress Natalie Morales, Katy Perry, Kim Kardashian, Taylor Swift, Jennifer Aniston, Minka Kelly, Cameron Diaz, Jessica Simpson, as I mentioned, and Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Wow. Didn't realize it was that many.
And he's picking them off. Well, you know, so what is it? Is there some secret we don't know?
He's got that smoldering look, you know, like hard to get smoldering look,
kind of like Steve, that,
like me,
that
yeah.
Women like,
yeah,
you know,
I would agree with that.
That you have to be like, oh, what's wrong?
Right.
You know,
I can fix you.
Yes. Oh, he's vulnerable, and he has a guitar. He's, oh my God! Of course, he's attractive.
He plays a piano too, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's very talented.
Piano players get me.
But also, it wouldn't scare you if you two were single. It wouldn't scare you that he's had 15 celebrity women of a year or less.
No, he hasn't been married or doesn't have any kids, so he's just doing what.
Yeah, but there's something wrong with him then. I mean,
we'll take this up with Dean in a few minutes. We're back in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey. You know I love you more than what I should.
Well, Dean, we had a really good February month in ratings, and we thank people for the continued support. And this segment itself?
Yes.
The highest rated segment ever in the history of broadcasting.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I was just as surprised as you are.
That is, wow. That's nice. Thank you.
Yeah. So it's something else.
Thank you for those that listen. I can only judge by when I'm out on the street, out at appearances. I'm out doing errands, whatever, and people come up to you and go, "Hey, moron!"
Right. It's very sweet.
And I never know if it's because they listen to the show or just they think I'm a moron.
It's touching, really, is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, it brings a tear to my eye.
Do you know why all the beautiful celebrity women date John Mayer?
Because he's a musician.
It's got to be, right?
He touches their souls, touches them emotionally.
So, in other words, Jennifer Love Hewitt and Cameron Diaz and Taylor Swift and Katy Perry, they date anybody with a guitar?
Yep. Yep. Roy Clark, he played a banjo.
Yeah, that's true. That's what hurt him. That's what hurt Roy Clark with the ladies, the banjo.
The banjo. It's not as romantic, to be able to pluck out a beautiful love song and, somebody else is playing Turkey in the Straw.
Na-na-na-na-na, you are so beautiful to me. Yeah, it's different.
I think any woman would agree. Your body is a wonderland. You hear a few bars of that and you're in,
I had someone say that to me at the Jewel yesterday.
As you were hiding your food?
I do.
Under your coat?
Yes, I did. I was upset because I didn't have my coat yesterday.
People could see his purchases.
Out. I didn't know. I don't like that.
I know. You're very private about your grocery shopping. I actually sent John Mayer a rough cut of that song that he changed to Your Body is a Wonderland. The original title was Your Body is a Six Flags and You Must Be This Tall to Ride.
That's not right.
He didn't think so either.
I'm picturing your cutout of Bugs Bunny with his hand at the 5 foot height.
That's exactly what
it must be
like.
This height to ride.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
What's A.D. Bryant doing in town?
A.D. Bryant was honored by Michigan Avenue Magazine last night at the VU rooftop.
I wonder why the Michigan Avenue Magazine people don't invite me to all their fancy parties.
Well, you don't never show up to anything.
Yeah, but that's the deal. You invite me, it looks good because you invited me, and then I don't show up, and then I talk about you.
It's always an email, so maybe you just don't read your email.
Oh, that's a good point. I do check email once a month.
Or maybe they just didn't want you there.
See, that's entirely possible. I hadn't thought about that. So were you at the shindig?
I was at the shindig.
Find her to be delightful?
I've interviewed her several times now, each and every time, more and more delightful.
Mm-hmm.
7 years on Saturday Night Live now.
7 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
And she's going strong, one of their strongest characters, I think.
Mm-hmm.
She's got this new show that's on Hulu that everybody is talking about, everybody raves about.
What's the show?
It's called Shrill.
Okay.
But it's a show that people are relating to because it's not, a typical formula show. As she puts it, when we were talking last night, the central character is somebody whose life is a mess, who is fat.
Okay.
And, usually that's the girlfriend. Usually that's the...
Not the lead.
The secondary character. It's rarely a lead character. And it's, talking about what... It's life when what it's like when the world is judging you based on your appearance.
Is it funny?
And not what you're... It is both funny and touching.
Wow.
And thoughtful at the same time. It's on Hulu. Shrill is the name of it.
Right.
Highly recommend. But we talked a little bit before the big festivities last night. She's from Chicago. She got plucked for Saturday Night Live because she was at Second City in Chicago. And she talked a little about what the city means to her.
Oh, it's the best. I mean, to me, it's truly home. And I get to see a bunch of my family. And, I always feel at myself here.
So when you were going to Columbia College, where I graduated from also, by the way.
Alums.
I am not, on the cover of a magazine. This has got to make you feel pretty cool.
Yeah, it's totally bizarre and surreal, but super nice, and especially in Chicago, which is where I really started taking classes at I.O. and The Annoyance, and, worked at Second City for years, and that's where I got found at... by SNL, so it's really, I don't know, it's a special place to me forever, yeah, and I feel like it's where I found my comedic voice, so yeah.
You probably won't have time while you're here, but if there's one Chicago place where you could go eat tonight, what would that be?
Oh, tough to pick. I have a lot of favorites, but I love Handlebar in Wicker Park, one of my faves, so yeah.
Good joint.
I don't know Handlebar.
On North Avenue, it's just like a block east of Western Avenue.
Famous for its fresh seafood?
Right on North Avenue. They actually do sell, they have seafood and vegan comfort food there.
Oh, Dave's probably been there then.
Yeah.
I haven't, but I'm going to check it out.
Yeah.
You remember...
What do you mean, like a vegan meatloaf? Comfort food,
They have vegan nachos.
Oh.
They have avocado tacos.
Keep going. I want to hear something else I won't eat.
Let me pull up their...
Bless you, Dave.
Let me get their menu up here, and we can see fried pickles.
Fried pickles are the best.
That was my nickname.
Fried pickles?
Yeah, fried pickles. They used to call me fried pickles.
I love fried pickles. They used to sometimes have them at Elwood's.
They are good. I've had fried pickles. Yeah, they're good.
They're delicious.
They're very
good. They have smoked Gouda macaroni and cheese.
Well, that sounds good.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah, it sounds very good.
But they also have non-vegan things also, like, chicken wraps and salads.
Now you're getting there.
Stuff.
Talk to me.
Black bean tostados, I see.
No, you lost me there again.
Here's chili cheese fries.
Yum.
That sounds good.
I'm not a chili
guy. Now I want chili cheese Fritos.
Sloppy Joe sandwich.
Yeah, I'd be okay. I haven't had a Sloppy Joe since I was about 9.
It's a vegan Sloppy Joe.
Okay, no. let's take it easy on the... how about an Untidy Joseph? Let's go with that.
Yeah, that's true.
All right?
Politically correct. You're so picky about the politically incorrect. They have something called a green meanie sandwich.
Hmm.
Avocado, herbed goat cheese, spinach, tomato, sprouts, agave mustard, and multigrain, served with a pickle and a choice of side.
It's amazing you could get all of that in one sandwich and all I'd eat was the pickle.
Really?
Yeah.
That sounds delicious to me.
It does sound good. Very green, yeah, though.
They have pork knuckles?
if you wear gloves, you won't know.
Actually, the cook has pork knuckles.
I do not see pork knuckles.
Hey, these. Why is Jenny McCarthy hate Barbara Walters?
Barbara Walters, according to Jenny McCarthy in a new book that has just come out, describes her as being like Joan Crawford in Mommy Dearest, yelling at her all the time, screaming at her all the time.
On The View we're talking about.
On The View. Behind the scenes, that Jenny McCarthy would go to work crying every day because she says she wasn't allowed to be herself. Wasn't allowed to talk about pop culture because Barbara Walters didn't know the celebrities that Jenny McCarthy was going, you know, was talking about.
Really?
In other words, a little like being on Steve's show.
Barbara, yeah, I'm the same way.
And you know what? One thing she made her do, Steve, if Barbara was wearing a certain color, she would make Jenny change because she didn't want to be dressed. Uh-huh. And you do that to us. Definitely.
I do all the time. I do that every morning. Barbara Walters, I saw her be mean to one of our own staff members.
Hmm.
Somebody was really looking forward to meeting her and thought it was really cool to meet her and wanted to tell her what an influence she was on her. And she wouldn't shake her hand. And not only would she not shake her hand because she's germophobic or whatever, or germphobic, she said, yeah, I don't shake hands. And she walked away.
I remember that. I heard that.
Just mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unnecessarily mean.
And then yelled, no wire hangers.
Right. 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 So that's disappointing.
That's disappointing to hear.
Yeah. Bill and Ted coming back?
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Do you know that was 30 years ago?
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
And yet the stupid still lingers if you pay attention.
I loved that movie.
It's still a funny movie. I still laugh when I watch it. Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter say that they are going to be back in a new movie that will be called Bill and Ted Face the Music.
Mm.
It's going to go into production this summer. It'll come out next year.
Great.
I don't know how they're going to travel, though, because didn't they used to travel in a telephone booth?
I think they did, and that's not easy to find
anymore.
Yeah,
good luck finding one of those these days.
All right, we'll come back. There's one real estate story I haven't gotten to.
Who was your first crush?
A girl named Susie Frakes.
How old were you?
I was in the eighth grade.
Have you seen her since?
No, I've spoken to her since.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, but she was, I was such a dumb... Can you say that?
Yeah.
That I ruined it, and I loved her all the way through high school, and... I've done all right.
Yeah. Besides your face, what body part do you look at the most in the mirror?
I'll tell you what, when you get to be my age, you get stuff on your skin. You got to be careful, especially out here in California. And I have more stuff taken off me than the discount table at Ralph's.
Tell us a lie you recently told.
Oh, the guy at the hotel said, so you taking off? And I said, yeah.
That's David Letterman last night on Ellen's Game of Games. Did you see it, Dean?
I did not.
Yeah, Letterman appearing on Ellen's Game of Games because he apparently needed to get out of the house. I don't know of any other reason he would have appeared on that show.
How did the beard look?
The same. I believe he has Amish people actually living in it. Completely out of control.
It's all good until they start driving their horse and buggies around.
Yeah, it's not good. It's never been good. It's not good. I know he's been friends with Ellen for a long time, so she probably asked him to do the show. But Dave and I were just talking off the air. That show is just mean. It's mean, it's sadistic, and somebody's going to get hurt.
I'm uncomfortable seeing it. I haven't actually watched it, but when I see the promos, and all I see are people in utter fear.
Yes, screaming while she laughs.
And she seems to be, you know, like laughing. Like, watch what pain I'm going to inflict on these people.
You know, on her talk show.
Letterman, anything?
No, he wouldn't let it.
Oh.
On her talk show, she's famous for scaring guests. She'll have, like, somebody in a box sitting next to a guest, and they jump out of the box. I don't know why she has such joy out of frightening people.
I have seen the game show, and like, they shoot stuff in the faces of the contestants when they miss an answer. And I don't know if it's dust or it's talcum powder or
it's not good.
The stuff they shoot at the kids on Nickelodeon, but she's
slime.
Got this slime. They slime them, and she's got this the look of delight on her face. It's a little weird.
It was entertainment. They were playing a game on her talk show, is what he was doing. He wasn't actually on the game.
Right. Yeah, he was answering questions.
He was playing a game on her talk show.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, Dean, so the real estate story.
Our real estate story for today, this is not my listing. As you know, I am a celebrity real estate agent to the stars. This one's not my listing. But apparently the Neverland Ranch, there's been a little talk about that lately.
Yeah.
With Michael Jackson's old place, could face demolition because nobody's buying it. There's currently an asking price of the property for $100 million. They lowered it to $31 million. That's a huge price drop. And still nobody wants to buy it. You know, maybe because of the allegations connected to Neverland, but the owners are saying they may have to tear the whole thing down just in order to attract a buyer to the whole thing. It may be just... You know, all the Michael Jackson-ness of it all is keeping people away from buying it.
Is the land value, will it hold better with the buildings gone?
I would have to think so. Isn't it in the Santa Barbara area?
Yeah.
That's a hot real estate area.
You know, I would consider it $31 million. How are the school districts?
I think okay, but do you really want to go in and asking questions about children on this?
No, probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably not. All right, so will you return tomorrow and do more?
I will. I'd just like to just say one thing, though.
What's that?
To look up on Facebook or on a site, Steve, along with the rest of the cast of the characters, did a recorded piece with Mike Toomey.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Spoofing Larry Potash's new show, Backstory, a little thing called Bad Backstories.
Yeah, pretty good.
And you and John DeCoste and Tim are all very hilarious. Great acting.
Really, really tremendous acting.
You guys did fantastic acting.
Playing three old guys. Can you imagine?
Yeah, three old guys.
How'd you get into character?
Right, come on.
Complaining about their back trouble. But it's a very funny spoof of the commercials that run for Larry Potash's new show. So kudos to you and to John, Tim, and to Mike Toomey. He had a little to do with it as well.
I'm just sorry award season's over.
Yeah. I hope people will remember come Oscar time.
You follow me on Twitter at Cochran Show. You can see it there as well. Thank you, buddy.
Beautiful.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Hello out there. We're on the air. It's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps, and the players bump, and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name.
Is this Gretzky's band?
The best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
Hawks and the Flyers tonight. Period. At the Spectrum. Now, where are they playing now? I don't even know.
They're playing at the United Center.
Oh, they are? Why did I think they were in Philadelphia?
I'm not sure.
Oh, they're at the United Center at the Madhouse. What time will the puck drop?
The puck will drop at 7:30.
7:30 tonight. We're standing by for Coach Carlton. Jeremy Carlton is sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint.
And that's 1:30 a.m. in Prague.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly right. How much of a time change is there?
6 hours.
6 hours. Well, that's only an hour. That's like an hour farther than London. That's like Paris time.
So the game in Prague on October 4th will be a 2 p.m. puck drop Chicago time.
Oh, that's good for a watch party.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's a friendly viewing. This isn't like a middle of the night kind of thing.
It's like an NCAA tournament. First day of the NCAA tournament.
So 2 p.m. means what, 8 p.m. in Prague?
Well, if it's 6 hours.
Yeah, it'd be 8 p.m. in Prague. Yeah.
Do they do daylight savings in Prague?
I don't like any of us.
Well, you know, sometimes...
They do, but it's in a different language. So, but if I'm going to Prague, 8 seems late for me.
You know, because like our guest, Paul Coit, they don't, I don't think, do daylight savings. So when I book him, he's like, oh, I forgot you're only 5 hours ahead of me now, or, you know, or...
Yeah, no, it does screw things
six,
up.
You know, so that's Prague. I'm just saying, the game might be at, what, 1, 2, or 3, depending on if they do daylight savings.
Well, here's the problem. I mean, even if I'm in a foreign country, an exotic land with great tourist attractions, I still got to go to bed.
Yeah. That's true.
You know?
So right, you'll be jet lagged, too, from the trip over.
The trip over.
Yeah, so about the daylight savings time thing, right now it's 2:41 p.m. in Prague.
Okay.
And I don't think they do daylight savings time.
Right, so there's 6 hours.
Right. But the game is, I don't know what the local time is supposed to be, but it is 2 p.m. Central Time puck drop.
Oh, that you know our time
that
for sure.
We know our start time.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's fun. It'd be fun if they were playing during our show, though, wouldn't it?
That would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
It never happens.
Well, it did happen a few years ago. The Cubs played in Tokyo. We started at 3:30 in the morning.
That's right.
I remember that.
That's right. The first hour of the show was preempted.
You didn't even get a day off for that?
No, we had to come in anyway.
Show started at like 7 a.m.
We came in. I remember.
The morning show never gets any perks that way.
No, we don't.
No, no. You know, it's like a coal mine. It just the grind continues. Coach Jeremy Carlton joins us again, sponsored by Hooters. Coach, did you ever play in Prague or coach in Prague?
No, I have not. I've been to Prague, but haven't played there.
I think we're going to come with you.
Yeah, I would recommend it. Good city.
So what do we do for fun in Prague, you and I, when we're hanging out?
There's a lot. I mean, I think you could probably find some nightlife. I don't know if they're going to make you work over there.
Thing, Coach. I mean, you know, I get up at 4, so nightlife for me is between 5 and 7:15 in the afternoon.
Yeah, you'll be okay.
Do they have a
blue? It's a nice city, a lot of nice old buildings, and I don't know what you're into, but churches, and, you know, they got it. It's real. There's a lot going on. A
lot of history.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, the cool thing is, Steve, you can go. The Hawks are going to finish their training camp in Berlin.
Oh, perfect.
So you can do Berlin to Prague.
Yeah. And probably just keep my lederhosen on for the flight. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
You ready to crank this weekend up?
Yeah. It's pretty fun to be in these type of games at this time of year. It's no problem with energy, that's for sure.
So, do you have any sense of which goalie you're going to get tonight, Hart or Elliott, for the Flyers?
I think it's Hart, but I guess we'll see when warm up.
Kid's a rookie. He's pretty good. From what I've seen on him, if you get to him early, you can get to him more than once.
Yeah, he's had a really good year. So, credit to him. It's impressive what he's done as a young player. But we want to put some pucks in the back of the net tonight, for sure.
You talk about it not being a problem to get energy, but your captain, Jonathan Toews, said after the game the other night that energy seemed to be a problem. He wasn't happy with it. Did you sense that was an issue for at least at the start of the game?
Yeah, I agree. I think it was we didn't have energy on whatever day that was, but we've had 2 days off now without game, and you know we didn't have a practice on Tuesday, and we had a good practice yesterday, so there's that's rare that you get that 2 days off in between games. That's really nice for us, so we'll be ready.
You can't look past this to get to the weekend, but the weekend with Colorado is going to be really big. Any special magic to keep the boys focused?
Look at the standings and think about the last game. We didn't play how we want to play, and we got 1 point even though we weren't good, but we also left one on the table, so I don't expect looking ahead will be an issue.
And who's in net tonight? Oh, well, you can't tell me till later, right?
Yeah, you got to follow the Blackhawks Twitter feed if you want that great info.
I saw a great stat that, talking about who's in net, that the Blackhawks goaltenders since January 20th have a high danger save percentage of 0.859, which ranks fifth, and their high danger save percentage previously was 0.84, which ranked 10th. I like the high danger.
I don't know
save.
That statistic.
Neither do I.
What is that statistic, Coach?
That means when the opposition gets is in a really good position, or they get a really good chance, how often we make a save, and we're up there. Our goalie is doing a great job for us.
Yeah, no kidding. Corey Crawford, since he's been back, has looked really good almost universally. Have you seen anything that concerns you?
No, I think he's he's gotten better and better as this time's gone on. You know, he's shaking the rust off a little bit on the West Coast trip. Since we've been back, he's been excellent. And, you know, he makes those saves at key times that allow you to get a point. I think Monday's a perfect example. And they had a couple chances. We were pushing. We had a pretty good third period. But, you know, when you push that hard, often you give up something the other way. And he made a save or two for us and allowed us to tie it. That's what he does.
Jeremy, the hot streak, Brendan Perlini's been on, the second star of the week in the National Hockey League last week. I know he got cooled off a little bit on Monday night, but did you see that coming with Perlini?
Well, you saw that he had the ability to do it. Great skater, big body, excellent shot. I think, you know, he came out of the lineup for a few games in a row. And when he got his next chance, it seemed like there was an extra determination from him to make a difference, to have an impact on the game. And he's done that. Not just, of course, we'd love to see him put the puck in the net, but I think away from the puck, he's been much better, and they're definitely connected. So if he can continue on, and he's still a young player, there's a lot more in him, I think, than what a nice weapon for us to have.
He was on the radio with us the other day, and he was very modest about it. But what's it like when a guy gets hot like that? Is it more he's in the right spot at the right time, or, you know, his shot is better? I mean, how do you explain when a guy gets hot and scores a bunch?
Well, I think it's you do the right things away from the puck, and then all of a sudden your line has it more, and you get in a good situation. And what he has is he can finish. You know, he's got an absolute bomb of a shot, and even when he's, you know, not playing well, you never know. You just feel like he could score at any time just because he's got such a great release. When he's playing well, anytime he's on the ice, you feel like he's a threat. And that's where we're at right now.
You know, when you see a guy whiff on a one-timer, it's always like, oh, boy, well, that's awkward. But that's not as easy as it looks, right?
Oh, it's really difficult, especially if there's any zip on the pass. So, you know, there's a reason why a guy like DeBrincat has almost 40 goals. You know, it's because he can get it off. And other guys, they have a tough time. It's not easy to do. But if he can connect on those one-timers, it's really difficult for the goaltender.
A little bit off topic. Are you an NCAA tournament guy? You fill out brackets?
Oh, yeah. Everyone's got a bracket or two in here. It's fun. It's good. Good team building thing too. You know, guys are watching together and instead of on their iPhone or watching a movie with their two headphones in, you get a little communal viewing. I think that's good for the team.
Who you got
time together? Shared experience.
Who you got winning at all?
It depends which bracket.
How many brackets did you fill out?
I got a couple in there. I think I got Virginia.
Okay.
And no, I didn't go Duke. Johnny's telling me Duke. I didn't go Duke.
Wofford? You a Wofford guy?
No, I didn't have Gonzaga. I have.
Oh, Gonzaga. Never won it.
Yeah, that's, you know, you can't be a sheep. If you're going to be a sheep, you just be like everyone else. You got to stick out.
Man, how about that?
Sad.
How about that? Look at you. What did you think of our questions today? Did you find them insightful?
Yeah, you guys, better than usual, actually.
Nice. All right, Coach, I just want you to have a good time. You know that.
Hey, oh, I love it. Thank you.
Go get it tonight, huh?
Yeah, you bet. No, it's going to be fun. Thanks.
All right.
Thanks
for us.
Have a great morning.
I think he's starting to like you, Steve.
By the way, I did not say what I was thinking, which is you can't do two different brackets.
Exactly.
You got to stick with one bracket.
Exactly.
That's the thing now. All the young people, they always have more than one going in different with different results. They don't stay.
I'm in three different pools with the exact same bracket.
That's
in each pool.
That's how you got to do it.
That's the old, you know, OG way of doing it.
Right.
I'm just telling you, the kids, which Jeremy
OG falls, Dave, original gangster.
Yeah, Jeremy falls into the kid category. They hedge their bets on different things so that they get a winner somewhere.
Yeah, my son's got like three brackets going. He was helping his girlfriend with her bracket last night. He did not help me with mine, however.
Well, ridiculous.
Yes.
And wouldn't that be like going to a horse race, though, and betting on three or four different horses?
Yeah.
Which people do.
Yeah.
Just trying to make sure you hit even money at some point.
At some point, break even.
Once again, to just repeat what the coach said, better than usual.
Yeah. I think the better quote was, don't be a sheep. My dad has said that to us our whole entire lives. I think it's the best advice you can give somebody.
And what are you supposed to be instead?
Well, sheep is a follower, Mayor.
Sheepdog. Right?
Yeah.
So what,
my dad
what,
would say,
ram?
Yeah,
ram. That's exactly right. Be a ram.
You got to have, you know, something
just
deep.
Be a ram. Just run people over.
That's right. Do
I
it.
Thought he was going
Who
down
cares
that,
who you step on?
I thought he was going down the same path as Duncan Keith during the parade. You know, when he was talking about lions and sheep and...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, good memories.
By the way, he didn't exactly invite you to hang out in Prague.
Did you like what I said when we're hanging out in Prague? Hey, I don't know what you're into.
Right. And he goes, I don't know if they're going to have you work or anything. Very separate trip is what he was making it sound like.
Yeah, he wants you to go to the castles and he'll do something else.
Why don't you go do what you do and I'll be over here with the boys.
It doesn't really sound like him, you know.
That's my... Well, you know me. I'm a man of four voices.
Yeah, I know.
Mine and the other three.
And the queen.
And the queen. It's really only two, really, when you come down to it. But I like Colleton. I don't care how he feels about me. I like him.
He likes you.
And I feel good about tonight. Notice I didn't make a prediction. I said I feel good about tonight.
That's good.
I mean, think about this if he'd gone with mine. You got this room for two. Your body is the Six Flags.
One thing
Come on.
I'm left to do.
You must be this tall to ride.
Discover
Come on.
Me, discovering you.
Texter sent me something from Prague.
1 mile to where
it's the beer spa Bernard in the center of Prague where you soak in beer. In vats of beer.
You know, I was just reading about that. There's some place here where they have, like, beer baths.
It's kind of like your big bratwursts.
Wouldn't you be all sticky when you got out?
No.
Not really.
It's not super sticky.
Smell like beer.
Right. It's good for your hair. Beer makes your hair shiny.
Can you imagine how shiny that MVPP guy is who was drinking the beer diet?
Oh, yeah.
We should have asked him about his hair. That's wonder how
point,
he's doing.
Mary.
Maybe he takes a bath in beer, too.
I wanted to ask him if he feels drunk, but I felt weird since
know,
he was the
too.
MVPP, so I didn't want to, you know, sully the...
He sounded
the
very happy.
He did sound happy. Because if I drink only beer, I'd be drunk.
Oh, yeah. And he takes Uber all the time.
Yeah, so that's good. So at least he's not driving, but he's... I guess maybe if you work at a brewery, though, you might be cocktailing all the time.
Yeah,
so.
Sampling.
I'm loaded today.
Oh.
a traditional 30-minute beer pearl bath. I don't know what that means. Plus a memorable e-photo. Unlimited consumption of beer from the brewery that's attached to this. A 30-minute relaxation in a heated bed and an original souvenir for everybody involved. This is a 1-to-2-person bath. It costs, without a massage, it's 2,590 Czech whatever. What's Czech money? I don't even know.
I don't know.
Checks.
Checkies?
Steve Brzanich, he's our business guy. Check.
Him.
With a massage.
Is it the footsie?
It's 3,390 Czech monies.
It's the Karuna.
It's a Karuna?
Mm-hmm.
3,390 Karunas?
Karunas.
So that's a lot of Karunas, if you ask me. I mean, I don't know. If you're sitting on that kind of Karunas. Now, you can apparently do a 5-to-6-person beer bath. What do you wear in a beer bath? You're not naked, huh?
I hope not.
Not if you're with 5 or 6 different people.
Do you get bubble bath with that? A bubble bath beer?
I think the beer makes
bath?
Its own bubbles.
It's own foam, yeah.
Yeah.
Unless somebody pours it incorrectly, and then there's no foam, and that's disappointing.
So we could take 6 people in a beer spa. So it's Coach, me, and 4 others.
Taser.
Kaner. Coach, me, Kaner, Taser.
Dunks.
Dunks and John McDonough would all be in the bath together.
I like it.
It's Coach, me, and then just get in line, baby.
And how much is it? 8,990 Coronas. Coronas or Karunas?
It says Karuna.
It's a Karuna. Okay. All right, so there you go. I'm already making plans. You know, I probably won't tell him about that right away. I'll surprise him when we get there in October.
I think a gift card.
To the place, yeah.
Well, we're sponsored by Hooters. You know, the history That's of the right. gift card there. It's 8:58. We've got some music for you coming up after 9. And you'll like that, I promise. Ed Farmer on the White Sox coming up after 9:30. We'll ask him about Ozzie doing some TV coverage for the Sox this season. And we'll come back in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom with Steve next.
With equipment like this in the home of the future, we may not have to go to work.
Now, from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
In the 21st century, it may be that no home will be complete without a computerized communications console.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
912 now, one of my favorite people in studio. I mean, you know, Sandberg and Vandeveld and Steve and Dave are fine. But I really like Marcia. Hi, Marcia.
Hi, Steve. It's been a minute.
Nice to see you.
It's really nice seeing you this morning.
You guys remember Marcia? She used to work here?
Of course. Great to see Marcia.
Yeah. She's still around. She just transitioned.
I'm all over the place now.
How's the podcast?
The podcast is going really good. It's keeping me busy.
What's it called?
It's Shypedia Podcast.
And where can I get it?
You can get it on WGNRadio.com, or you can find us on iTunes or
wherever I get podcasts.
Yeah.
Have you listened to my podcast?
I listen to your podcast all the time.
You're so full of it. Who'd you bring in today?
Today I have a very talented pianist. Her name is Megan Stokes.
Megan Stokes. Where'd you find her?
I found her. She's from Chicago. One of my favorite PR people, Kevin Ross, he introduced us.
Okay.
And he sent me all her information. I said, oh my gosh, she's amazing. And this is a talent that I think everyone needs to hear.
And who's she with?
She's who is
the big
she with?
Dude.
The big dude. That's Kevin Ross.
That's Kevin.
He's not security.
Okay.
He's the PR guy.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, because he's walking around here like he's going to hurt me.
No.
All right, is Megan play and sing?
Yes. Well, no singing.
Oh, she's going to play. Oh, I love
just
that.
Just playing. No, she just play. But I may be able to do a little backup for her, but...
Well, but you're not going to rush into it.
That's the only singing you'll get, but we'll just... I'll sit today.
I can't wait to hear it. Megan Stokes, very gifted talent, classically trained pianist, based in Chicago, teaches and performs all over town, featured on Empire... does classical, does jazz, does neo-soul.
That's right.
Gospel, jazz, all sorts of stuff. Is she ready to play?
She's ready.
Is. All right, ladies and gentlemen, on WGN and the Steve Cochran Show on CLTV, this is Megan Stokes. Sitting ovation.
That's also another musician that every woman loves, John Legend.
That's right.
Yeah, he can. I know he's taken, he's
the lady. He used to be the ladies' man.
Yeah,
but
everybody.
And the name of that song?
All of Me.
All of Me. So, Megan, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Thank you.
That I think it's called a run, right? That piano movement you did at the end. Is that a run where you...
Yes, scales, runs, arpeggios.
Because it took that heavy turn, and then you just blew me away. It sounded like 47 people were playing with you.
47? Yeah. Yeah, I mix it a little bit of classical. So I like to kind of, you know, mix it up a little bit and put my own spin on it.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
Where did you learn piano?
Where did I learn? I studied at Merritt School of Music.
Yeah, but did you have somebody in the family that played too when you were little?
All of us play in music. It's eight of us all together, and my mother, she put us all in instruments when we were younger.
Smart woman.
Yeah.
Good woman.
Yeah.
Good mama. Where are you in the eight? Where are you? Where do you fall in line?
I'm the six.
So you learned when you were a little girl. See, yes. I always wanted to learn how to play piano. I mean, I look like old Billy Joel, so it'd be perfect for me.
I think we all just have like the same few songs that we can play.
Chopsticks?
Yeah. Do that. Is that
a little chopstick situation?
Yeah.
Megan, is it true that it's hard to learn as an adult?
You know, anything you put your mind to, you could do. but I think it is a little bit harder. But I teach adults as well. I teach young children, and I do adult classes as well.
And are the adults a bigger pain to teach?
No, I think the thing with them is just practice time.
Yeah.
Megan, with growing up with eight siblings, did you learn how to be efficient in the bathroom?
Efficient? Right. Yeah, you had to be. Everybody's always, you know, fighting for a time.
Max your time. And you taught John Legend how to play, is that right?
No.
I think she's taking Alicia Keys' spot, though.
Yeah, well, Alicia's no slouch.
Can you
either.
Do that, Megan, where Alicia did the two dueling pianos?
Yeah. I know where she got that from was a lady, Hazel Scott. She's another pianist back then, and, you know, she definitely got that from her.
How good a pianist is Lady Gaga?
Lady Gaga?
You haven't seen enough of it?
I mean, I think she's pretty good. I don't really watch her like
Well, who do you really like other than the ones we mentioned?
I like Stevie Wonder.
Oh, Stevie Wonder's ridiculous. Yeah. He's so good.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, me too. Love him. What else are you going to play for us?
Play some jazz, some Oscar Peterson.
Okay. Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
The legend. All right, whenever you're ready.
Okay.
You want to take a break and do this? All right, we're going to take a quick break, Megan, first, and we're going to come back and do this. More of Megan Stokes. And second, and let me grab this call too while I got a second here. This is Danny on the phone. Stand by, Megan. Danny, have you been to Prague?
I've not only been to Prague, but I have an apartment in Prague. Basically, it's my grandmother's flat.
Oh, so that's what you're going to lend me when I'm over there?
Well, no, I think my wife's already looking for airline tickets to go October 4th. I mean, that was pretty cool.
But then you and your wife and Coach and I could hang out and do a beer spa.
Oh, I don't know about the beer spa, but I'll definitely take you out to some great pubs in Prague.
What's your favorite thing over there?
Honestly, the beer. The beer is fantastic. Okay. I mean, basically, it's called the Corona. Americans call it the Crown. And it's about $1, $1.50. If you go to a tourist spot, it's $3, you know, for like a half liter. But some of the true Czech taverns still have the old tank system where it's not even put in kegs. It's basically a fuel type of truck goes from the brewery, takes this big fire hose, fills up this tank, and the beer is unbelievably good.
Fresh, man. Fresh. Squeezed right from the beer tree, Dave.
That's what I hear.
Just like the one you had in the backyard. So, yeah, I've heard of crowns before, but what is the local pronunciation, the proper way to say the currency there?
The currency is Corona.
Corona.
Corona. I call it. Corona. I call it Karuna.
You call it Karuna, and we call it crowns because we're lazy. All right, Danny, you're going to be my tour guide, man. Thanks for listening.
You got it, guys.
See you later. We'll come back and more with Megan Stokes in just a second.
I got it. I'm patched in.
All right, let me hear it.
Now, from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
We're locked. Systems check out. Signal across the board. What's the frequency?
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Nine. 25. Her name is Megan Stokes. Our friend Marshall Isles is here. Did you feature Megan on the podcast?
Yes, she's actually featured on the podcast.
The current one, or when was she on?
She'll be on today.
Oh, she's on today?
Yes.
So you're recording today?
Yes.
Then you're posting today?
Yes.
Is there an interview as well, or are you just going to sit back and let her
play? We're going to interview as well, and then we're going to highlight some of these, the performance from right now.
Well, that's great.
So, yeah.
All right. We're getting a little jazz now.
A little bit of jazz mixed with the classical.
A little jazz from the great Megan, you tell us. Oscar? Oops, something might help if I turn your microphone on. There you are, Megan. Who are you going to play?
A piece by Oscar Peterson, a jazz pianist.
Here we go on 720 WGN and CLTV. Megan played that all on a Casio keyboard. Isn't that right, Megan? Wasn't that a Casio?
Yes, it is a Casio keyboard.
How do you make all that sound come out of that keyboard?
How do I make? Years of training.
Do you have to pound on it, or is it gentle and subtle?
You do have to, pound on it, make sure, you do the dynamics, forte, piano on some parts and whatnot. So definitely.
Do you have to exercise your hands? You have to protect your hands?
Definitely.
So you're not playing, say, 16-inch softball in Grant Park this summer?
No, I'm not. Definitely not.
Well, it's great to have you on the show. Would you like to say hi to anyone?
I don't know. Anybody that's watching, hello.
All right, great.
Hi to my mom, anyone, family out there, anybody that's watching.
And where will we be able to see you next?
I'll be doing a television for WGN as well. Okay, so that should be airing sometime soon. And that Black Women's Expo as well. So a lot of different things. And then they can also follow me on social media, Megan Piano.
Well, very nice.
Yes. It's M-E-G-A-N, just for the different spelling.
The traditional spelling.
Yes, M-E-G-A-N, Piano. And my name, Megan Stokes, as well.
And if there's a little girl or boy that wants to learn how to play, and what's the one piece of advice you'd give them?
They can come study with me as well.
Well, there's that for sure.
I'm a teacher as well, so.
And Megan Piano, you can probably link all that up, but I assume what you have said before is what matters, right? Practice, practice, practice?
Yes, definitely, definitely.
How many hours a day do you play?
Practice-wise?
Practice and play. Like on a performance day, would you practice or no?
Performance day, yeah, definitely. Maybe some warming up, maybe for about 30 to 45 minutes or so. And then on a regular day of practicing, maybe a couple hours.
What's your favorite thing to play?
Favorite thing to play? I really like Chopin.
Wow.
Maybe some jazz as well, like Oscar Peterson piece. But
do you have any piano junk food you'd play, like just goofing around stuff that you love, or poppy music stuff that you love?
Poppy music, maybe some of John Legend that I played earlier, or making up my own compositions as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do people ever ask you to play Sweet Caroline?
Sweet Caroline? No.
Ba, ba, ba.
No.
Well, I don't know if you and Marsha are good friends yet, but you will be.
Yes,
and,
definitely.
That's right.
And you're going to record with Megan today, and you'll post when.
I will, so you get to learn even more about this talented lady. Mm-hmm. And we'll be posted. Check us out around 12 o'clock today.
About noon.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming in very much.
No problem. Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, let's do this. Thank you, Marsha.
Thank you, Steve.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
Let's go, 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 White Sox! We're with you all the way.
942, this is your White Sox radio station, and we look forward, Dave Bennett, to regular contributions from the voice of the Chicago White Sox, Ed Farmer.
He's going to be with us, I believe, at this time every Thursday.
Unless he has a better offer.
Well, that's possible.
He might get a better offer. Ed's very popular. Farmio!
Good morning, guys. Good morning.
Thanks for getting up. How are you, buddy?
Well-traveled.
Can you believe it's almost the last weekend of spring already?
It went by quick, didn't it?
Really did. Really did. I like this Jimenez story. How do you feel about him being a regular?
Yeah, I heard whispers of that about 2 days ago. And, you know, there's something. The minor league clubhouse isn't that far away. He could have taken an Uber, but it would have been part of that bonus I think he's getting. But that would have been okay. But he's a talented kid. I mean, to look to the future, we're going there quickly. And they're learning how to play. They're not a finished product yet, but they're getting closer. Remember this, I think we've lost five or six in a row now with yesterday because I wasn't there. But we're playing kids that are in the minor leagues the last three or four innings.
Sure.
They're getting a baptism of fire coming over from the minor league clubhouse. The guys have been sent down. They're not bringing them back. They're bringing new kids in each day just to see what we've got, and it helps the manager. I would not be surprised the next two or three days or in the next week that you see the regulars play seven or eight, maybe even nine innings for two or three games in a row, get them ready for Kansas City in a week.
Yeah, it's a week away. We'll be out there over this weekend. We'll be there Sunday when they play their last game in Arizona.
I don't know if Ed knows we're coming in the booth.
We're going to be there. Ed, what does the Jimenez deal say about not only the White Sox commitment long-term to Jimenez, which has been pretty evident, but also that he's willing to commit long-term to being what eventually will be the face of the franchise?
Well, it's a big thing for both sides. I mean, we both agree on it. What I've seen from him, is he a finished product? No. Has he got the talent? Absolutely. He's got to take his repetitions and see what goes on. You know, there's two ways this can go. You can have him there and send him down, or you can have him there and let him get through some of the things he's going to experience, which are not easy. But if you're patient with him, which we are, I think he's going to come up aces. I can't say enough about Danny Williams and Rick Hahn as far as talent that they've collected different traits to get these people in our organization. When you put Jimenez in left field and get a Adolfo out there and you throw another couple of guys in that we've got traits, these are three guys in the outfield or four guys in the outfield. They touch shoulders and they're playing straight up. That's how big they are.
Right.
I would just want to get them schooled on how to play White Sox baseball. We know one thing. They don't want to run the first base throughout a ballgame. Renteria won't stand for that. They're going to hustle, or they're not going to play, or they're going to be sent down.
Let me ask you about a couple of old guys. Ozzy is going to be doing TV pre and post. That's cool, don't you think?
And why not? I mean, it's the last time we won, 2005. And, you know, I saw Steve Perry on television. He was with us in 2005. He was the lead singer for Journey. Don't Stop Believing was a song that everybody lived by with us. Let's bring Steve Perry back for a rendition of that, either this year or next year. Let's go to the World Series and see what we could do. You don't know what's going to happen with this team. I mean, the back end of the bullpen looks like it's going to be very strong. And when I say the back end, it is everybody going from the sixth inning or fifth inning on to get the game over without the other team scoring. I think we have that. I just don't know if it's locked down yet. But the talent that's out there should be good enough to hold somebody back. Can't use them every day, but you're going to use them maybe today. They'll have a rest tomorrow, and the other guys will take over, and that's a good thing.
I want to ask you, too, about somebody who I know you crossed paths with a bunch of times, and we haven't talked since he passed. Frank Robinson, I think, is the most underrated superstar in the history of major sports. What's your take on Frank?
Frank and I were friends. We were friends when I faced him when I first came to the big leagues in 71, actually, to stay. But he was a formidable force. I've seen a ball off me in Metropolitan Baltimore over the mound, a two-hopper in the fourth or fifth inning, and he didn't stop at first base. It was a single at center, and Ted Ulander was playing center field. He came in and got the ball and threw it in. Robinson slid in the second with a double. And I got to play for Frank in Santurce in Puerto Rico, and there was no gray area with him. He came out one day. He goes, "You've thrown 136 pitches. You're in the seventh inning with one out. Tell me how you feel." I said, "I feel great. I can't wait to get to the next batter." I was out of gas two innings before that. So the last, you find your rhythm somewhere in the game as a starter when you're doing that. And I have to tell you something. I threw 39 pitches the last two and a half innings, the last two innings total. And I was eating that night in a downtown steakhouse in Puerto Rico called Scotch and Sirloin. And Frank was in there, and he came over. He goes, "You called me because I thought you were done." I said, "I was done in the second." At that point on, I'm not kidding. That point on, when his foot hit the warning track coming out to talk to you, you were out of the game. He'd just go, boom, he's
right,
gone.
Right.
I go,
right.
"What is this?" He goes, "You're not going to lie to me ever again." Yeah, he was just a great guy. He doesn't live that. He didn't live that far from me here. But last time I saw him was at Dennis Gilbert's Scouts dinner in January, and he sat at the table, and I just waved over to him. You know, I didn't want to draw any attention. He just waved to me like, "Don't lie to me again."
He was low key cool, and yes, I only crossed paths with him a handful of times. He couldn't have been classier. He didn't want a bunch of attention. He didn't want to hear a bunch of stupid questions. But if you had a good mind for baseball and you were respectful of the guys that played the game, he'd love talking to you.
He was one of the guys, Mays and McCovey, when I was 18, making the big league team in Cleveland. Never got to pitch, but they took me around for the first month and then sent me down. But Mays and McCovey were the first ones that I saw that had tailored uniforms. Then I saw Frank Robinson. He took it to another extent. Mm-hmm. The top was fitted for him. There was no material that was in the right place. And his socks, he had these socks on that were pulled up high, like Beta Pinson, who was a player at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the pants were bloused right at that stirrup, right where that little, I mean, he was ready to play baseball, but he was going to show you, "I'm going to play baseball, but I'm going to look like I know how to play all the time."
Hey, Ed, real quick, back to the Sox. Carlos Rodon named the opening day starter. I don't think anybody was really taken by surprise by that announcement. What do you expect from him? And also, should Sox fans be at all nervous after seeing Lucas Giolito struggle a little bit this spring?
Well, we've changed his arm angle. Not so much his arm angle, Giolito. Let's begin with him.
Mm-hmm.
He's short as arm swing. He's short and gets the ball out of his glove and takes it up almost like a quarterback, but a little more elongated than that. And he had been throwing strikes. We've had him two or three times this year, and he threw strikes. Last year, I threw so many wild pitches with the delivery he had, but he still won 11 games, I think.
Right.
Not 11 games, what he won last year. But he was my number one pick when I started and I saw him. He went to Harvard Westlake High School in Southern California in Los Angeles. And he threw a no-hitter. But he was in control of everything. And I'd like to see that again from him because he's got the arm. But with Carlos Rodon, I talked to him a couple days ago. And I said, "Congratulations, being named the starter of the day. Are you a little nervous?" He goes, "Not now, but I
Right, that day, sure.
Yeah. I said, I would hope so. He goes, why is that? I said, if you're not nervous when you go out to the opening day or any other time in the big leagues, just call the paramedics because your heart's not working. He started laughing. So I want to tell you guys about this the other night. They put in a pinch runner two days ago at night game over there at Goodyear.
Okay.
In the ninth inning, we put Gonzalez in to pinch run after he'd made the last out in the eighth. So I'm doing my scorecard, I'm getting things ready for the ninth inning. And I look up, we're ready to go. And Gonzalez is on second base. Nobody told me he was out there. Darren didn't see him. He was talking to Mazur about something that happened in the game earlier. And I look and I see Gonzalez, so I don't say anything. And the second pitch is hit on a fly ball to right. I said, a high fly to right. This will get the runner at second over to third with a go-ahead run. And Darren went something. Turn off your microphone. I took off the microphone. He goes, how did he get out there? I said, I have no idea. None whatsoever. So we score that run. Now I'm watching the Reds who were playing. They put a runner out there at second. And I find out from Renteria, he goes, yeah, we had to try that. Somebody in the league office came up with this. Rather than play extra innings, just put a guy out there. Where are we going with this game? Seriously.
Is that right? So yeah. You just plant a guy at second base?
Yeah. Just to experiment.
How about that?
This is one of those pace of the game initiatives.
Break the tie thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. Let's do that. What's next? The merry-go-round? I mean,
wow.
Seriously.
That's unbelievable. Hey, last word comes from your friend Mary Sandberg.
Hey, Ed. I know that National Kidney Day was last Thursday, but it's also National Kidney Month, and you're a big advocate because of
your transplant.
And so I just wanted you to say what people can do, the organ.
Just sign the donor cards. If you sign the donor cards for somebody that you love, or somebody that you don't know is even better, you can give them the gift of life just by a transplant of a kidney. They used to, my brother Tom gave me a kidney over 28 years ago. Without the kidney, I'd be on dialysis, and I would not be enjoying life, I could tell you that, because people who are on dialysis, it's a way of living after a while. But it's also a group of people, if you're going into the center, where you have people in the same situation as you are, so you have a contact list of people that can listen to you and everything else. Well, we want to get them all situated where everybody can have a new life, the gift of life. Organ transplantation is here. What's coming in the next 5 or 6 years? I think you're going to be able to transplant your own stem cells and make the kidney or whatever. That's what I think is coming.
Wow.
I've been at Harvard looking at stem cells the last 21 years. And that's what's coming, folks. So be ready. But the transplants, we need these. Just sign that donor card. And I've had friends that signed the donor card. Their sons, unfortunately, got hit in the head or something happened to them. And one of them only wanted to do was live in San Francisco. His heart beats in a man's chest that lives in the Back Bay in San Francisco today.
Right.
Cannot buy that gift. That is a gift of life that we give to one another. We're all in this together. Why not take care of one
Amen.
Another? It speaks volumes, and Mary knows exactly what I'm talking
about. Well said. Well said by you, and obviously you know it better than the rest of us, and God bless you. And by the way, I've been a donor forever, and so are my kids and my wife, and it's not hard to do, and so are you, Dave, and everybody on the show. Ed Farmer, looking forward to talking to you.
Most people don't know their blood type. Just go in and give them blood and have them type your blood. You'll know.
Right. Takes
and
about...
please.
Takes about 30 minutes tops, and you're going to help somebody else. All right, man.
Yeah.
Hold the line. That's the great Ed Farmer. Up early for us. We're coming back in a couple of minutes. Coming up, stories that matter.
You're watching News Center 4 with Steve Cochran, Dave Ennett, Ron Burgundy.
Does it sound like what you'd see when you're traveling?
That's the tournament.
Stories that matter in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. You guys are actually on the air, Wendy and Bill, at the exact time that people are starting to screw around at work and not do anything.
Yeah.
These next 2 days.
And our show will reflect that.
Yes.
Steve.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. They're catching up with you guys.
Yes.
Screwing around and not doing much.
Exactly.
I do not do brackets.
Is that right? Just not interested?
I am with you, Wendy.
What
100%.
Sport is it? Basketball?
Yeah.
Yes. Dave looked disgusted.
We found out this morning that Jeremy Colleton does multiple brackets.
With you're not supposed winners. To do that.
And Dave could not have been more offended.
Yeah, I'm not offended, just disappointed.
That's the old-fashioned way, Dave. Now the kids, that's what you do. You put different winners in different brackets, and you see which one, and then you claim to know. That's how they do it.
Because everyone has to win now.
Yes.
That's the way society is.
That's because Steve ruined children. You own that often. You say, I'm the one who started.
I said, our generation of parents ruin kids.
Yeah, and because of you, now Jeremy Colleton is doing different brackets with different winners.
Look what love has done to these children.
I often agree with Wendy, but every day there's something new that I agree with her on, and the brackets is...
I
have
do
zero
brackets.
Interest, Wendy, but I did one because I'm forced to.
Does anybody win anything? Will. Like, what's the most anybody won?
$1 billion.
I'm not sure.
$1 billion.
Dave's probably not allowed to win anything since he works in college sports.
You have insider information, right, Dave? You know in advance who's going to win all the games. They tell you because you're a broadcaster.
Well, it's just instinct. You're just going to look at the... I can look at the bracket and just tell.
Right, you know. You can tell.
Sometimes you could go, for fun, win, if you ever did it, you can go mascot versus mascot.
I don't even care.
Well, but you know, you're not wrong about that because you can end up with Kentucky versus Abilene Christian. That's a Wildcat versus a Wildcat. So who are you picking?
Oh, the Wildcat.
Right, that's a good call by you. See, you've already got one winner.
All right. I like how you roll.
You could take UC Irvine. They're the Anteaters.
Oh.
I mean, you would like that,
that's
right?
That name
mascot.
Just brings fear.
Well, how about the Houston?
I will suck you up.
How about the Houston Cougars versus the Georgia State Panthers?
Ooh.
So you got horny MILFs versus horny GILFs.
And that's how they're advertising the game?
Yeah, the GILFs versus the MILFs.
I'll go with the GILFs for a win.
So, see, there's ways to play that you can have fun.
Sure there is.
What are you guys doing today?
Maurice LaMarche will be with us, Steve.
From What's Happening?
Yes.
Who's Maurice?
You know him as Mama from What's Happening.
Really?
No.
Mama's a woman.
He does hundreds of cartoon voices.
Give me a
Pinky and the Brain.
Oh, sure.
He's the brain on Pinky and the Brain, Animaniacs, Disney, Looney Tunes. He's done thousands of them.
I always wanted to be a toon, didn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's fun. It's easy dough, I think.
Yeah. It's fun. You can fall off of cliffs, have anvils fall on you, everything's
happy.
Who's
the guy from The Simpsons who lives here? Dan?
Castellaneta.
Castellaneta is what character?
He's Homer.
And Krusty, and so many others. And he has made a bazillion, gazillion dollars and hasn't been on camera since 1987.
Yeah.
Is that when you worked with him?
I replaced him on The Magic Door. He was
you
the
did?
Guy that I replaced,
yes.
Yeah.
Did you make a bazillion, gazillion dollars?
That was the exact amount I made, yeah.
It still could happen,
that's
though.
That's what the check says. $1 million, gazillion dollars.
Here are $1 billion, gazillion dollars.
We also have Penn and Teller tickets to give away, but you're going to have to work for it.
Ooh. What kind of work are you going to
have?
Reminds
me of the time when you were dating before you were married.
We have a game coming up at 11 o'clock.
Right. Can you say what game?
Yeah, I don't want to give too much away, but it's
you got to fill out brackets.
Yes, there's
a
brackets
name that
involved.
Tune kind of thing.
Okay,
ooh, is it humming?
Hum Along with John DeCuss.
Yeah. Why, have you ever heard of that game?
No, I haven't at all. We're back tomorrow. We'll try to fix today.